Welcome to the Riverwood Chapel Podcast. We're so excited you're here. Please check out our other content and video uploads at riverwoodchapel.org. Thank you.
Well, good morning, church family. If you are someone who loves the journals that we've been producing, this is volume two for next week as we start then our journey through chapters 18 through 29. This is simply a journal that has the scriptures on one side, a lot of blank pages on the other. If you're someone who likes to take notes and write things down, and so this is volume two. We have it. You can grab it on your way out even, but that's for you. All right, this morning we begin with a very common phrase that I think probably everybody in this room is familiar with. It goes something like this: the apple doesn't fall. Well, look at that. We already know it. So the origins of this statement go all the way back to the 1700s. That's where we can first hear of it and see it in writing. But then you go into other languages, like German, and it even goes back into the 1500s. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Now, we might not know exactly the origin of that statement, but what it means, we know exactly what it means. We know that it means that we, our stories are somewhat predictable. We fall from the tree of the most influence. What has had influence in our lives? Maybe parents or mentors or an environment or whatever it might be, we are fairly predictable. And those things that are included in those predictabilities are our mannerisms and maybe loyalties that we might have, gestures and smiles and all these things that we are so heavily influenced by those who we have relationship with. And it's probably this that gives the explanation to this picture right here. So this is me at the tender age of three, getting ready for flag football, right? I was thinking, flag football for three-year-olds, this is going to be great. All right, so this is me growing up with an orange jersey with the number 32 on it. Does this ring a bell with anybody in the room? Who would this have been? The infamous Jim Brown. Well, there it is. My dad put me in a 32 jersey at a very young age, which probably explains why my team is the team that has never won. My team growing up into the 80s, the Bernie Kosar years, all of it, tragic. I mean, our phrase is, wait till next year. Why? Wow, maybe that's why. The influence of somebody in my life that I have now passed down to the next generation of sons in my own house who are cheering for those brownies. Now, this the apple doesn't fall far from the tree in trivial things like sports affinities, but there's a more serious conversation here too, because it goes even to deeper conversations about our own character. And how we make decisions and morality are the things that we watch those who have had influence in us. And even a conversation about the influence of God. The influence of God in our lives. You see, every single one of us has a story of what we grew up with. The apple falling. And maybe for some, that was a great story. Maybe you had a mom who prayed for you. What a gift that is. Or maybe you had somebody who mentored you, a small group leader, someone who took time and showed you and pointed you the things of God and His Word. What a great blessing to fall from that kind of influence. But let's be truthful. Maybe you're falling is a lot darker, a lot more difficult. Maybe you came from a story where there was nothing of God. And maybe even worse than that, maybe there was even abuse, and there was atrocity and evil that you were a part of, and you fell from that. See, the question that Jeremiah wants to have with all of us this morning is, what is our influence like? How can we have influence in the lives of others? Even if your falling from the tree is a discouraging one, and you're wondering, how could I ever have influence? How could God ever use that? But then also for those of the people in the room who fell from something that is good, and the apple fell, what are you doing with your influence? You have influence, whether you're 16 years old or whether you're 86 years old. You have influence for the things of God. And so we're going to talk about how did we fall from trees, but then also who's falling from our trees? What do they look like? What are we doing with the time that we have? And so I'm glad you're here. We're going to examine God's word. There's going to be something that's going to challenge us in this conversation of our own influence, and it's in the book of Jeremiah. And so if you have your Bible, let's open together. We're going to be in chapter 16. But as you kind of open up, let me just kind of start right here. The idea of passing on is a huge topic, not only to Jeremiah, but also to the entirety of the scriptures. This idea of passing on is really the title of this whole series, the mission of God. God uses broken people, no matter where you fall from the tree, to carry on his mission, his story of gospel, the story of Jesus Christ, the continuation. He uses broken people like you and me to do that. And that's an amazing story. And especially in the times that we find ourselves. Just yesterday, I was talking with my sons, and I was thinking, can you imagine the moment we are living in? We just lived through global pandemic, and will we be the kinds of people who are going to be living through world war? I don't know. Yesterday, we did a funeral for someone who was 44 years old, who fell on ice and who passed away. Time is fleeting. This world is different. Our influence matters right now. This is urgent. This isn't like, I might fit it in and get to some influence. No. The world is now desperate for the influence of the gospel. And again, he uses broken people like you and me. All right, so we're going to be in chapter 16 of Jeremiah. But before we get there, let's see a few verses in the chapters before. Now, if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to do more of a rapid fire as we kind of get into chapter 16. There has been a theme running through the chapters so far that we haven't touched on that I'm going to mention today. It's going to be actually on the screen in front of you. And so I'm going to, Jeremiah's been trying to communicate something to us along the way that maybe we have missed. I don't want to pass over. And so this is what God's word says. In chapter 2, Jeremiah said this: "What wrong did your fathers," and you see now he's talking about the generation before. Now he's talking about this idea of apples falling from trees. "What wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me and went after worthlessness and became worthless? They did not say, 'Where's the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt?'" Chapter 7. Now, again, "From the day that your fathers," previous generation, "came out of the land of Egypt to this day, I have persistently sent them all my servants, the prophets, to them day after day. Yet they did not listen to me or incline their ear, but they stiffened their neck." Catch this. "They did worse than their fathers." The apple fell from the tree, and it keeps falling further and further. Chapter 9, "The Lord says, 'Because they have forsaken my law that I set before them and have not obeyed my voice or walked in accord with it, but they have stubbornly followed their own hearts. They have gone after the Baals as their fathers taught them.'" The fathers are teaching them to walk away from Yahweh. Chapter 11, "They have turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers," not just their fathers, but their forefathers, "who refused to hear my words. They have gone after other gods to serve them." All right, let's stop there. How are the apples falling from the trees in Judah? not well. This is not a good story. How is the intentional spiritual influence of Yahweh going? Not well. And you notice the words in the text. This is the text. I'm not making this up. The text tells us they were far from the Lord. They went after. That means they chased after the worthless things. They did not care to listen. There was no listening to the Lord. And even they modeled something that then placed the next generation in an even further place away from the things of God. They were taught to chase after idols, fathers and forefathers, generation after generation, refusing to hear the words that God wanted them to embrace. And so it's all of this, because of this, the outcome of this kind of influence to the following generations was spiritually devastating. That's the main point here in Jeremiah. Generation after generation, 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 away from the Lord, it's devastating. And what we are seeing is what they were experiencing, all of this evil is stacking up against them. Now it comes to a head in chapter 16. Now we're going to be in chapter 16. And the God of Judah does something remarkable with Jeremiah. He decides to take him and his life and use him as a living example. This is very unique to Jeremiah. He calls out Jeremiah and he said, I am going to use you like a sermon illustration in front of all the people. And I'm going to ask you to do some very, very specific things. Let's look and see what he wanted him to do. There is a point to this. In chapter 16, verse 1, he says this. The word of the Lord came to me, and this is now Jeremiah, and this is God speaking to him. You shall not take a wife, nor shall you have sons or daughters in this place. All right, now let's move on to the next, a little bit further down. For thus says the Lord, do not enter the house of mourning or go to lament or grieve for them, for I have taken away my peace from this people, my steadfast love and my mercy, declares the Lord. All right, let's go a little further down. You shall not go into the house of feasting to sit with them, to eat and to drink. All right, so far God is calling Jeremiah not to have a wife, which is very odd in this setting, because to have a wife and to produce and have children, you're passing on your heritage and your name. But he tells Jeremiah, actually, you're not going to have a wife and no kids. And on top of that, when the whole community is mourning of some kind of loss, you're not going to be with them. You're going to be kind of off by yourself. Oh, and added to that, when there's great celebration and the people are giving praise, and you're actually not going to be there either. You're going to be by yourself again. What's the point? Well, here's the point. God is using Jeremiah as an example of what he is going to do to his people. He is the God of intentional relationship, pouring into broken people who will then take his mission out. And here's what God is saying to him. Jeremiah, I'm actually going to be taking a step back from you as an example. Why? It's going to be an example to the people. The people are going to watch you walking around Judah, and they're going to be like, what's wrong with you? Hey, we're having a celebration. Why don't you come on over, Jeremiah? No. Well, we had just experienced this deep loss of death. We need you here. No. I'm not going to be there. All of this odd behavior. Many times when we see odd behavior, even in our own culture, it does something to us. It catches our attention to ask questions. Now, there's lots of odd behaviors I could point to. Last hour, I was pointing to the people who are Steelers fans and that odd behavior. I was pointing to all the people who eat celery. That's more odd behavior to me. People who eat green apples. Anybody eat green apples? Green, you like the green ones? Okay, there's some more odd behavior people. Like, you see, when we see odd behavior, it causes us to ask questions. What's going on? Why are you doing that? And that's exactly what God is doing with Jeremiah. He's wanting the people to start asking questions. Why aren't you hanging out with us? What's going on here? You're the mouthpiece of the Lord, Yahweh. Something's not right. And that's exactly what they do in verse 10. Notice, they have lots of questions. And when you tell this people all these words, and they say to you, here they are, why has the Lord pronounced all of this great evil against us? What is our iniquity? Are we doing something wrong? What is the sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Again, the people are asking Jeremiah, what's going on? What's so bad? What's the big deal? And the answer he now is going to give them should sound familiar. The next words out of Jeremiah's mouth, he has said already numerous times. But maybe this time they will listen. See, they've heard these words before, but are they listening? In verse 11, he continues. Then you shall say to them, Jeremiah, here's what you need to say. Because your fathers have forsaken me, declares the Lord, and have gone after other gods and have served and worshiped them, and have forsaken me and have not kept my law, and because you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, every one of you follows his stubborn, evil will, refusing to listen to me. Here it is. It's happening again. The apple falling from the tree. It's very close to the people who keep doing it wrong. Far from the Lord. People who are stubborn at the level of their will, their hearts. People who are now doing worse than their fathers. So let's pause here and let's start asking some more questions. Where do we find ourselves in this conversation so far? You've been listening now for about 15 minutes and you're thinking, okay, what is going on here? What do I need to hear in this? Again, I told you at the very beginning, this is about influence. The bigger question of what kind of apples are you producing from your tree of influence? As people are close to us, maybe our own children, maybe the influence of those in our workplaces who you spend 40 hours a week with, maybe people in your own school on a sports team that you ride buses all over town with. What kind of influence are you having? What does that look like? Because I'm guessing in the vast majority who are here on a Sunday morning sitting in church, you want to have an influence that is righteous and good and pointing people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But again, you might be sitting here thinking, do I really have anything to pass on? What if I fell from the tree and what I have is really nothing to give? Hold that thought right there because I want to have a conversation with you and include somebody else as well. And so, Steve, come on up. Let's have a conversation. Steve has been kind enough to join me on stage and to talk through some of this topic as well. And I told people that Steve is conquering the number one fear that people have, speaking in front of others. So thanks, Steve, for doing that.
That I am doing today. Good morning.
Yeah, yeah. So as we talk about the apple falling from the tree, describe maybe what you received. Like, how did that fall in your life? What kind of things come to mind?
Okay, well, growing up, my family was pretty hectic. My mom and dad, 4 children. You know, as my mom and dad divorced, I had received a sense of abandonment from my father leaving. And my mom was an addict, my dad drank. So upon them things I'd received and...
Because when we talked before about your dad and his addiction, you said it was all the time, right?
Yeah, it was all the time. For instance, he'd fall asleep, passed out, and our house caught on fire because he was trying to cook at the same time. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. What other things were passed on to you then? What other things did you receive?
You know, like a sense of like addiction I had fought and abuse from my oldest brother having to try and care for 3 other little guys at the same time.
Yeah. So
he took that out on me and my twin a little bit too.
Yeah. Those are hard things to think about, the apple falling from the tree and being in that kind of environment. What changed, or what was something that reversed that story? How did you take another step?
Okay, so not to be like stereotypical or throw cliches out there, but at my lowest, I was sitting in jail. And I thought, what am I doing here? What am I gonna do? So the first thing I asked for is a Bible. Hmm. And opening it up, asking questions in my head, trying to receive answers from somewhere. So as I open up the Bible, I'm starting to get answers. And I'm filling that hole in my heart with God.
Yeah. What else has been on that journey for you that's helped you in kind of heading in a different direction? What else has been in there for you?
So on my path to recovery, I had met a real special someone. And she even more has opened up my heart to God as she is a follower of Christ. Hmm. And I had started coming here to Riverwood to church, and I had started a class they have called CR, which is wonderful.
Celebrate Recovery,
yeah. And it's been a blessing so far.
Yeah.
And I have... through my path have received so many blessings and seen so much good that I just owe the rest of my life to God.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible. I know we have talked and just seeing the reversal of what was kind of how the apple fell and what God is, he's not done with you. You're still a work in progress like all of us.
Of course. Yeah. And I'm up here with your phone call to me and a message that I have to deliver to someone somewhere out there.
Yeah.
I'm not alone. You know, everyone goes through something, whether it's super tragic or not so tragic.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve, for sharing.
You're welcome.
Yeah, let's give him a...
Thanks, Pastor Cole.
Yeah.
Love you, man.
Yeah, thanks. I wanted you to hear Steve's story, because that might be your story. Someone who's watching, you're thinking, the apple fell, and there's no way I could have influence in anybody's life. I want you to hear that through the power of the gospel, it is possible to reverse that story. It's possible. And really, let's just be honest, even if you had great influence, you still need a reversal. You still need a reversal. I need a reversal. Somewhere in my life, I had parents who prayed for me, but there was still a moment where I needed to, as the verse says in Jeremiah, deal with my stubborn will and my own heart. A reversal, a gospel reversal, is so desperately needed. And so we go back to these verses in Jeremiah. I think they speak to every one of you. It says, this is our story. Every one of you, all of us, everyone in this room, every one of us follows his stubborn, evil will. And at some point, we are going to need someone, something that will point us into the direction of listening. And maybe it's a mom who prays for you, or maybe it's a jail cell. But there is a moment when there is a gospel reversal that is glorious. Have you experienced that gospel reversal? Or are you still just kind of wandering and heading down the paths of the generations that have been given to you? Maybe this is that moment that God uses churches and your presence here to bring about a gospel reversal. You've been doing this all your life, but maybe in this moment he's saying, I want to have a relationship with you. Stop trying to do it on your own. Come to me. The power of the gospel has the power to reverse. And there's great influence then that we can have, that he wants us to, the story is his in us, but then he uses us for great things. Just think about the kind of influence that Steve is going to have in his own family. He's told me the story. There's nobody in his family that follows after the Lord, but they're noticing something about him now. What's going on here? There's odd things happening that we have questions about, Steve. And there's going to be moments for him to share. What about you? How are you utilizing your influence? You have influence. You have words. You have actions. You have presence that can be a great power of influence. I could give lots of examples. I know we're coming down to it, but I want to give this example statistically for all those who are dads in the room. This is something that is going to be mind-blowing. I don't know if you've ever seen this research. But as you talk about the kind of influence that dads have in the family when it comes to spiritual kind of passing on, it is remarkable. Here's the statistic. If a dad comes to church, let's just set the bar right there. If a dad says, you know what, we are going to church, there is statistically a 70% chance that your kids, just by the mere action of being right here on a Sunday morning, 70% chance that your kids will follow in those same footsteps. Now, there's lots of factors and lots of things that go into it, of course. But 70%, here's the other shocking statistic. If dad is very casual about his faith and doesn't come, that statistic of 70 drops down to 2%. 2%. Why should I go to church? Dad's not. That is the power of influence right there. You have influence in being present. And what a glorious thing to even have kids come into this space and sit next to dad, hearing dad sing praises to the Lord. Do you know what that does in someone's life? It builds impressions. It builds a future. It builds like, wow, my dad actually believes this stuff. It's a glorious thing of influence. That's one example. But what kind of influence are you setting in your own home or in your workplace? See, we have moments to be praying for people, inserting ourselves into conversations, being there to show intentional love and grace and mercy. Why would we do that? Because someone showed that to us. That's going to then cause people to wonder, what are you doing? Why are you loving me this way? I'm loving you because somebody loved me this way. Influence. Passing it on to somebody else who needs to hear the gospel, the truth, the story of freedom from sin that plagues every single one of us. This is the story that addresses the evil, stubborn will. The only one that does is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we get to have influence and pass on to the next generation. No matter where the apple fell in your life, no matter where it fell, God uses you and your story for his influence. May he continue to do that right here in Kent, Ohio. I dream about this many people taking their influence out of these doors into our own community and workplaces. And there's a lot of harvest. There's a lot of things to be done. Yet, the workers are few. And there's a lot of them sitting right here. May God use our influence for his kingdom purposes right here in Kent, Ohio. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to pray to these ends and even head into a time of reflection that's going to center around what we do once a month as a church, around communion. But how is the Lord speaking to you about your influence and how he's trying to grab your attention? May that be a quiet moment of reflection even this morning. Let's go to him in prayer and pray to him. Dear God, we come to you, and I am grateful for the example of Jeremiah and his words to us. We need to hear these things because this is not our story. This is your story in us that we get to have influence in the lives of others. This is the plan of your mission, your gospel. We see that all the way throughout the scriptures, you using broken stories for your glory. And I pray that you would continue to do that. I pray that even for my friend Steve and his family, that there would be generations that will come from his influence because of his faithfulness and you turning his heart and his stubborn will in jail in a different direction. What a glorious story. And we all have those kinds of stories. I pray that we have those kinds of stories of where you have turned our wills into a direction of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we celebrate that as a church, even through what you will see here in our communion table, but even in our influence in this community. Thank you. We give you all of the glory, for this is your story through us. It's in the power of your Son's name, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.